If you can please have this passage open, Luke 8:22-25. So we'll be looking at this passage this evening. I recently read a story online, and it was a story of a storm survivor. And this survivor's name was Sean, and he was only 10 years old when Hurricane Katrina hit. And Hurricane Katrina, I'm sure most of us have seen, you know, on the news. It was in 2005, so that's going back 18 years ago. And it is known as the costliest hurricane to ever hit America. And Sean was only 10 years old at the time when Hurricane Katrina came. And at the time, Sean was with his mother and his father, and they were in their flat. And as the storm came, they quickly moved to across the other street to a retirement home to seek some safety. And they were able to reach a higher ground, and other people came running in with them as well. And they all went to the highest ground of this retirement home. And it was days later when Sean and the rest of the people who survived were eventually rescued by a helicopter. And even though they were rescued, the women and the children were placed as first priority, so they were taken first. So it was about 2 months until Sean had reunited with his father again. You know, with Hurricane Katrina, so many people died. So many people lost loved ones. And Sean and his family were very fortunate to have reunited with each other. You see, not all of us will face physical storms, literal storms like Sean did. But Jesus said that there's one thing that's inevitable for every single one of us. And that thing is that we will all face the storms of life. Life is very difficult. Life isn't easy. The storms of life are so many. Illnesses, pressures from work, pressures from your boss, marriage difficulties, financial difficulties, bereavement. I'm sure many of us are here today. You know, I've come this evening, and we have storms that we are going through in our lives as well. You know, we come to church, we say hello, we look happy, but really, there's so much going on in our lives, isn't there? You know, and the thing about storms is, many of them are sudden, and they happen in an instant like this. You know, hearing a doctor saying, "You've got cancer." It's a sudden storm. "We're sorry, but you're being made redundant from your role where you've been working for 20 years. Sudden storm. Your family member been involved in an accident. Sudden storm. You know, all it takes, one phone call, one unexpected event to happen, and your storm starts. And the disciples were in a storm today, as we read in our scripture. But this is a wonderful passage because it bears great relevance to our lives today. You know, while most of us don't travel by boat, you know, we're all on this journey of life. And at times our journey is fun, it's enjoyable, smooth. And at other times, as I mentioned, it's quite rough and uncertain. So let's look very briefly at the background leading up to this event. So prior to this event, Jesus spent the rest of the day teaching. He taught crowds in parables. He healed many. This was a very busy day for Jesus, and a very draining day physically as well. You know, Jesus would have been very exhausted and tired, as well as his disciples who were with him. You know, going out, healing, teaching in parables, in the scorching heat, you know, all on foot. So this is the background, but there was yet something to do. They had, in verse 22, please look at verse 22, Jesus tells his disciples, let us cross over to the other side. The day wasn't over. There was still something to do. So let's look at the first point. So the first point this evening is that the disciples were in a crisis. And we see this in verse 23, which reads, but as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. So here we can see that the storm was so bad, so fierce, that the ship was full and filling up with water. And you see, storms were common on the Sea of Galilee because of the sea's location, which made it prone to sudden and violent storms. And these storms can become very violent. In 1992, there were reports of 10-foot waves on the Sea of Galilee, which caused a lot of damage to the city. So we see here, the disciples, they had a crisis on their hands. The ship was full of water. The waves were as high as the boat. And they were headed for the bottom of the sea unless the storm stopped. Let me ask you a question this evening. Have you ever felt the storms of life blowing so hard upon your life that you feel that you are sinking? Have you ever felt that the waves are just too much for you? Have you ever been in doubt, uncertain about a particular situation? Maybe you're going through a difficult situation now. Maybe you know a friend or family. Maybe it's your own family members. And you feel like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. And you feel like you just have no control over your situation. There's many times in my life where I've been very afraid. I remember two key prominent times where I've probably been the most scared I've ever been. One was when I, and I've shared this before, when I experienced some bleeding which I had from my belly button, and it just came on suddenly and the doctors didn't know what was happening. And the other time was when COVID first came and I tested positive for COVID, and it was at a time when there was no vaccinations, no one really knew the effects it had on the body, but people were dying and young people were dying. And I remember these two moments of my life, and I'll never forget, because I was the most scared and afraid that I've ever been. And I just thought the worst, you know. I was in doubt, I felt uncertain. I felt like I just had no control over the situation. And I was in a lot of fear. You know, you see, the disciples, they felt like this. They were in a crisis. They were in a situation which they felt they had no control over. They didn't think they were going to make it. And this was a serious crisis confronting them. But how do they respond to the situation? Which brings me on to my second point. How do the disciples respond? They cried out. Notice their cry, their desperation. Verse 24, it reads, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Many of the disciples who were in the boat with Jesus, they were familiar with the ways of the sea. They were familiar with certain unexpected events, with certain, you know, storms, bad weather. There must have been in many storms before. But in this storm, they were the most frightened, because this storm continued to grow more violent. And they became so fearful and so concerned for their lives. They thought that they weren't going to make it, that they were going to die. And they probably did everything they could, or everything they knew how, before going to Jesus. And by the time they went to Jesus, they were terrified. So imagine yourself, you know, when I read this passage, I imagine myself being in this situation. And I think most of us would agree, we'd all would be absolutely terrified. Just as the disciples cried out in desperation, let me ask you, can you relate to the feelings of desperation just as the disciples faced? Maybe at times we felt like God isn't there. You know, like Job questioned. Maybe we've wondered whether God's watching over us. You know, maybe we've questioned God. God, do you not care about my health, about my family member's health who has cancer? God, how will I provide for my family? I've lost my job. How would I provide? How will I pay for my bills? God, don't you care how I'm feeling? You know, how many times have you prayed to God to calm the storm in your life, but the chaos just continues? You know, there may be times when we feel like we can't feel God's presence. But it's them times that we need to trust Him the most, because God promises never to leave our side. And He promises that He's with us, whatever situation we are facing. He knows all things, and He knows your situation. He knows your thoughts. But He wants us to seek Him. He wants us to rely on Him. As the disciples were in a crisis, they cried out in desperation. What was Jesus doing? We see that Jesus here is sleeping. He's fast asleep. And as I said, this was a very tiring day for Jesus. He would have been very exhausted. But this demonstrates to us the humanity of Jesus. You know, Jesus was God, but He was human. He had been teaching, healing hundreds of people all day on His feet, traveling. So when He was away from the crowds, He went to the boat and He fell asleep. And He needed that time of rest. And seeing this, reading this, it just tells us that Jesus was genuinely human, just as we are. How many of us are deep sleepers? I'm sure none of us would have been asleep during the storm. But I think this is an amazing and quite a beautiful picture, that despite there being a crisis, a storm, the disciples running around, we see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's calm. He's sleeping, resting peacefully. The boat full of water, yet Jesus our Christ, our Lord and Savior, is sleeping peacefully. And when Jesus sleeps in the boat, when He's resting, He does so in confidence. How could Jesus be so relaxed when all this chaos was happening around Him? Because He was in control of the situation. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if there's one thing that the disciples did right during this situation, is that they went to the only person that could handle it. They cried out to Him and said, Lord, we're going to die if You don't help us out. And look at verse 24. Verse 24 reads, then He rose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. To the disciples' amazement, Jesus only had to speak a few words, and the storm became silent. The wind stopped and the water was still. He spoke and the sea obeyed. The disciples were unable to control the storm, but Jesus revealed once again the mighty power He has. And this shouldn't surprise us. You know, we read in the beginning in Genesis 1:3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And in the same way, God spoke the earth, the plants and all animals into being. His spoken word has authority. God's spoken word has power. And nothing in nature could ever disobey his command. He has perfect authority over even the wind and the waves, and he was in complete control of the situation. The storm that had threatened their lives had been calmed by their master. He removed the very thing that was causing them distress. And he did it in such a way that the disciples were able to see his power and his majesty like they had never seen before. In an instant, their fear and anxiety was gone. In verse 25, we read, Jesus said to them, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" This tells us that Jesus could easily read the hearts and minds of men. We see this when he's asking this question, "Where is your faith?" Rebuking the disciples. Jesus is in effect saying to the disciples, "Don't you trust me?" Jesus knew his disciples were afraid, but he had hoped they would trust in him more. The disciples, after all, they had been witnesses to Jesus performing healing, you know. They would have seen Jesus, seen his power time and time again. But even after seeing all these miracles, they still weren't sure who Jesus actually was. Jesus wanted faith from his disciples. He wasn't concerned who was the smartest, who was the most skillful, who was the strongest. Faith in him was all that mattered. Jesus had never forgotten or forsaken them. And in verse 25 we see the disciples, they were afraid and they marveled to one another. "Who can this be? Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." You see, the disciples, not only were they in fear of the storm, they were in fear of what they had just witnessed. "Who is this?" they ask. "Who is this man?" It's like Jesus is a stranger to them, in spite of being with Jesus for such a long time. It's like they had become scared of Jesus Christ himself. At the same time, they came to realize that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, the one who even the winds and the waves obey. The disciples went from being overwhelmed with their own for their own safety to being overwhelmed with the power and glory of Christ. And finally, what can we learn from this passage? And how can we apply this passage to our lives today? Well, what we can learn is that God has power and he is in complete control. We serve a God who is in complete control and who works all things according to his will. He's the captain of our boat. He's sovereign. He rules over all things. He is in control and bigger than all of your problems. Whatever you are going through, whatever your family members are going through, your friends are going through, God knows everything. He knows your thoughts, he knows your worries, he knows your tensions. And it should be consoling to you and comforting to know that nothing is too much for God. He can do all things to bring peace. And knowing this should give us confidence and assurance that when we go through our storms, that we can truly rely on him. And whatever God does is for our good, for his greater purpose. He does as an opportunity for us to deepen our trust and our relationship with him. What else do we learn? We learn that when we go through the storms of life, we must have faith on God and truly with all our heart depend upon him. Don't depend on yourself. we are weak. Trust in the Lord and have faith in him. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it's a comforting verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not some of your heart, not most of your heart. All of your heart involves a full surrender of our worries, a full surrender of everything we are experiencing, our tensions, our problems, and involves a complete trust in God, leaving all our worries to him, all our problems to him, who is mighty to carry it all. Abraham, in the Bible, he was not leaning on his own understanding when he was walking up on the mountain to offer his son as Isaac as an offering to the Lord. Daniel didn't lean on his own understanding when he was being led to the pit, thrown in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't lean on their own understanding. They demonstrated complete, full trust in God as they were thrown into Nebuchadnezzar's fiery furnace. And in the same way, we must not lean on our own understanding. We need to let go of our anxieties and fears and give them to God. To have faith in Jesus means to trust him completely with all your heart. Just as Abraham did, just as Daniel did, just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. And finally, what else can we learn? That God is always there with us. So brothers and sisters, just remember that our God is a God who is active 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, God's battery never dies. We have to charge our phones, you know, to communicate with people. What use is a phone without a battery? It's nothing. But God's battery never dies. God is available to us at any point during our day. And he's watching over us with great love. He's in complete control of every situation. No matter how big you may think the storm is in your life, God is in control. And you may not think God is not there, but he's there by your side. And nothing is impossible for him. We all will experience trials in life. But if we believe in God, we trust in him, if we know him, then he promises us that when we go through the storms, that he will give us the strength that we need to get through them. So we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. We need to keep our focus on him and our hearts. If he can calm the storms of the sea with a couple of words, then he can calm the storms of life as well. And if you accepted Christ into your hearts, then one day you will have something to look forward to. A day when the storms will cease forever and will be in eternity with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Trust in him. Give all your worries and problems to him. He is in control. He is sovereign. Nothing is impossible for him. Amen. Thank you.